The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, is trying to allay fears that President Trump's intervention in the cases of three service members last month would lead to a disruption of order and discipline within military ranks. General Milley told members of the House Armed Services Committee yesterday that, quote, we do maintain and we will maintain good order and discipline. Meanwhile, a seemingly simple order from the commander-in-chief is often anything but, especially with entanglements like Syria and Afghanistan. Here's an in-depth look at what's going on between the Pentagon and the White House from Ben Wolfgang, military correspondent at the Washington Times. Ben, what are you hearing?
What we can gather over the past year or so of seeing Donald Trump try and finally make good in his campaign promises to get out of, you know, what he calls endless wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Syria, is that his orders, which, you know, in theory could be pretty simple, seeing as he is the commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces, often don't seem so simple, because he'll give an order, and in Syria, I think, is probably the best example of this, where it was pretty clear a couple of months ago that Trump wanted to get out of Syria and came out in front of cameras and gave multiple speeches and issued multiple statements saying we're going to withdraw from Syria. And what tends to happen is the military says, well, it's going to take a while. It's going to take X number of months to get all of our people, all of our equipment out of Syria. And so they it's not necessarily that they're defying the president specifically, but I think they're just moving very deliberately, very cautiously, very slowly, with the hope and the expectation that eventually President Trump will either change his mind or be convinced by someone to change his mind. And that, in fact, seems to have been what happens in Syria, and it's certainly what has happened in Afghanistan over the past couple of years as well. So I think that this strategy of slow walking the president's orders, it's continuing because it seems to have worked so far, Gordon.
All right. So this is happening perhaps because why? Mr. Trump sometimes says something without consulting with generals or trusted military advisors?
One thing that's clear about the president, and you can go back to his campaign, I mean, you can even go back before his campaign, you know, to his criticism of the war in Iraq, for example. I mean, one of his central tenets politically, especially when it comes to foreign policy, has been to get out of the Middle East wherever possible. He doesn't want to continue these wars in Afghanistan, in Syria, certainly in Iraq as well. So that's just sort of where his gut is, like where his heart is. His sort of North Star on foreign policy is to try to get out whenever possible. And so I think that he often just gravitates back toward that and says, this is what I'm going to do. Damn it, now we're going to do it. I'm going to get our men and women out of these countries. And then what happens is, after the fact, I think he's presented with sort of the logistical challenges that policy brings about, and the potential repercussions of it, what it could mean for broader U.S. foreign policy goals, for national security, for the rebirth of ISIS, potentially strengthening the hand of Russia or China, all of these different things. And I think that's where sometimes he's convinced to modify or slow down, back off a little bit of his ultimate goal, which I think everybody would agree at this point, is to get out entirely.
We speak with Ben Wolfgang, military correspondent at the Washington Times. He's written a piece entitled Military Slow Walk or Deep State Defiance? Trump sees direct orders modified. What about the Afghanistan example?
I try to separate, as I did in the piece, Afghanistan from Syria, because they're very different. I mean, what we've seen in Syria is just a complete mess with a lot of different factions at play, with Bashar Assad's government forces, Russia, Turkey, the U.S.-backed Kurds, ISIS. It's just a very complex and complicated sort of set of circumstances on the ground in Syria. And so one could, can easily make an argument that, given how messy it is, what are we really doing there? Maybe we should get out. Afghanistan, of course, is a very different story, mainly because of its role in harboring al-Qaeda leading up to the 9/11 attacks almost 20 years ago. So what you're seeing, I think, in Afghanistan is Trump does want to get out. I mean, he launched peace talks with the Taliban over the past year. Those eventually fell apart because the Taliban just wouldn't stop conducting attacks against American personnel inside Afghanistan. So Trump wants to get out, but I get the sense, when I talk to people in the Pentagon and sort of in the national security orbit of this administration, that Trump is a little sort of more determined and kind of angry, quite frankly, about the situation in Afghanistan. He was angry that the Taliban, basically broke good faith by continuing these attacks when we had really reached out an unprecedented olive branch with these peace talks that we were holding. So the president, when he went to Afghanistan over Thanksgiving, said, we're going to try to relaunch these peace talks, but he made pretty clear that we're not getting out until we get ironclad commitments from the Taliban to stop these attacks, to let peace take hold, to represent the U.S.-backed government in Kabul, and a number of other conditions that we've set out. So again, I think his gut is to get out, but on Afghanistan, unlike Syria, he's made pretty clear over the past couple of weeks that he's not going to get out until he gets exactly what he wants.
Thanks, Ben. That's Ben Wolfgang, military correspondent at The Washington Times.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.